to interpret the pasuk that instructs us to count Sfiras HaOmer the way in which we do. And what we're going to do is read the pasuk carefully and take it apart, word by word, piece by piece, and hopefully in doing so, we'll be able to have a better understanding of the mitzvah. So we begin, if you take a look with source number one, the pasuk we know, Usfartem lachem imacharas ha-shabbas miyoma vi'achem es omer ha-tenufa, sheva shabbasos tmimos tiyana. Now you shall count. We're going to focus on the word lachem, what exactly that means. You shall count for yourself from macharas ha-shabbas. When is macharas ha-shabbas? Right, so the Shabbos here means the second day of Pesach. We'll also consider why the Torah refers to Pesach in this highly unusual way. So you shall count from the second day of Pesach, from the day that you bring the Korban Omer, 7 weeks, until the day after the seventh week, you shall count 50 days and bring a Mincha Chadasha LaHashem, which is, of course, the Korban Shtei HaLechem, which is brought in Shavuos. Now, the first question I want to address is an obvious question, which is, the Torah tells us how many days are we supposed to count? How many days? What did the pasuk say? 50 days, correct. And how many days do we in fact count? 49. So the obvious question is, why do we count only 49 days? We should really be counting 50 days. So there are a number of answers to this question. Oftentimes it's used in the realm of Drush, and a number of Chassidish have beautiful, inspiring answers. But the Rush actually gives a very simple, straightforward answer, a bit surprising. In fact, I think if the Rush were to say this nowadays, he might be excommunicated, because the answer, while simple, seems problematic. The Rush, in source number one, he quotes a couple of alternative solutions in terms of the reading of the pasuk. He says that these are dochak, they are forced readings, difficult readings of the pasuk. What is the answer? Why do we only count 49 days? So look at the second paragraph beginning the lin there. Shein anu tzrichim l'tchukos halo. We don't need these difficult answers. Kevin de kasebe behed yeshiva shavuos tisparlach. Since the pasuk is explicit that we're only supposed to count 7 weeks, which is of course 49 days, that's source number two above. There are in fact two psukim that instruct the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, one in Parshas Emor, one in Re'eh. So since the Torah says explicitly it's supposed to be 49, ein lispor yoser mishiva shabbos shivuos, umetisperu chamishim yom lo kasha midi shekach derech hamikra kshemagia haminyan leschum asiris pachos achas. What's the Rush answering? Why do we count 49 if the Torah says 50? Why does the Torah use the word 50 if we're supposed to only count 49? It rounds. The Torah rounds. Really, the Torah means 49, but the Torah rounds. Can anyone think of another place where we find the Torah rounding numbers? Ah, excellent. So that's another example the Rush brings. So there it's parallel, the Rush notes. It's not just a random rounding, but when we refer to denominations of 10, so in the case of makos, lashes, so al pi halacha l'moshe misinai, we know you only get 39 lashes. The Torah refers to 40. There too, it rounds up, in other words, to the nearest 10, but it's not just that when it's something one less than 10. It's like the Gematria rule, right? You could be one of. Any other examples? Any other examples where the Torah rounds numbers?
Possible in the Parshas of
Shavuot. Ah, very good. All right, that's an excellent example. So it seems highly unlikely, what you're suggesting, that every single tribe ends in either a 50 or a 100. Now, it's possible. We don't know. We don't have the specific census figures. But that seems unlikely. The only time we have to have actually a specific minyan relates to when they did the Pidyon Bechor. So that could be an example. The Rush doesn't give that example. Presumably,
also maybe some explanation for in the Shlomo's Beit HaMikdash, right?
You're talking about the pie question.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, maybe. So, but in terms of the census one, the Rush doesn't give that as an example, maybe because we don't know with certainty that that was rounded. Also because he's showing us a more specific rule, which is that when it's 9, it rounds to the nearest 10. So we have 39 as 40. Any other examples? So look at the next one. Oh, Shivah Shavuos Tisparlach. Second, source number 2 from A. Shivah Shavuos Tisparlach. Me'achel Chamesh Bekama, which is referring to Ktziras HaOmer, done the night, the second night of Pesach. Tachel Lispor Shivah Shavuos. So what the Rush is saying is, look, we have here an explicit pasuk that clearly says it's 49. So the way to resolve the question is to assume that the number 50 is rounding. That's his solution. He gives another example. I'll just tell you the other example that he says is from the end of Sefer Bereishis. How many people went down to Egypt? So the Rush is not assuming that Rashi's answer, correct? The Pasuk says there were 70 that went down. When you count them, there are 69. So you are right that Rashi quotes a Medrash, that it's referring to Yocheved, Nolda ben Achomo, she was born along the way, but the Pashupshat, Pshuto shel Mikra, the Rush says, is this too is an example of rounding. So we have three examples, the Rush says, where the Torah rounds. Two of them are explicit in the text. This one, the Rush is presuming, in which the Torah rounds up 39 to 40, 49 to 50, and 69 to 70. Yeah, you were going to ask a question. So you're saying that it's difficult. So
no, I was just saying it's easier because justification makes more sense because the book says 70.
Right.
Okay, fine. 70 makes
sense. Exactly.
Nine.
Yeah.
And it also says Chamishim.
Right.
But at least.
Yes, that's exactly what he says. In other words, if it's true, if we didn't have the pasuk saying 7 weeks, we wouldn't know this. We would presumably interpret it literally. But in light of the pasuk that says 7 weeks. So then the more reasonable resolution is to say that number 50 is rounded in light of the paradigm and the other examples of rounding. Okay, so that's the number. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the Pasuk. Usfartem lachem. Usfartem lachem, you shall count for yourself. So, I alluded to the fact that we have other mitzvos in the Torah of Sfira. So, what are the other places in the Torah that the Torah instructs us to count? So we had one this past week, yesterday's Parsha, that was Sfira towards Yovel. And if you take a look, that is source number 5 below. V'safarta l'cha sheva shavaso shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pe'amim. V'hayu l'cha yimei sheva shavaso shanim, tesha v'arba'im shana. So you shall count 7 sets of 7 years, 7 sets of Shemitah, totaling 49 years, and on the 50th year is Yovel. It's a good week to come to Philadelphia when it's the week of Yovel to see the Liberty Bell. So that's what we're going to do next. And excellent. So this year, a couple more days, we have the Yovel of Yerushalayim, and so we have another Yovel, so a big Yovel year. So the question I want to ask you is, how is that mitzvah done? Meaning to say, did everybody in their shul at night count, this year is the 32nd year towards Yovel? Anyone ever done that? No, nobody's ever done that. We can't do it now. But was it ever done? Yes. So, the answer is, not exactly. If you take a look at source number 5, it says, the Safarta Lecha Bebeistin. This mitzvah of Sfira, the mitzvah of Sfira Yovel, was done in Beistin, meaning to say, the Beistin would calculate. So, in Beistin, they would say, each and every year, they would say, this is the 32nd year towards Yovel, the 33rd year towards Yovel, and the like. So it's done in Beis Din. There are two places where the Torah also instructs Sfira, and that's a Sfira of Zav and Zava, in sources number 2 and 3. It says, V'chiyitar ha-Zav mi-Zavo v'safar lo shiv'as yamim. Interesting. Also 7. All examples of countings in the Torah are 7 related. Shemitah, Yovel, and Sfira Shivanakim for Zav and Azav. Azav is someone who has certain emissions that make him Tameh. Same thing for a woman. A woman is a Zava. And for the Zav and the Zava to become Tehorim, they have to count Shivanakim. The Pasuk for the male is source number 2. Pasuk for the female, source number 3. Okay, what about over here? Does a woman, and this is something that's still relevant, at least for women nowadays, do they, each day on their counting towards the Shiva Nikim, do they say today is the third day towards Shiva Nikim? Do they count? Do they make a bracha? No. So the question I want to ask you...
Is there not an opinion in the
Shla? Oh, the Shla. Excellent. We'll get there. You are correct. Very good. So, but before we get there, the question is, how do we know? We have three places in the Torah where the Torah says, you shall count. And uses the same word, v'safar. V'safar, v'safrala, v'safralo, v'safarta mocham, v'safarta lecha. So, how do we know that in the case of Zav and Zava, we don't actually verbally count? In the case of Sfiras Yovel, it's the base din that counts. And in the case of Sfiras Omer, of course, each and every one of us counts individually at night. We make a bracha and we count. How do we know that each one is counted differently? We basically have three models of counting, but the Torah says in each case, you shall count. So what is the basis for that distinction? So this is a very interesting question, and not actually so clear at all. The Gemara in Menachos, which is source number 6, there we have Tosfos, has a very unclear line. It says, Usfartam lochem, shetei svira lochal echad ve'echad. You shall count for yourself. It's picking up on the word lochem, that svira should be for each and every person. Now, what does that mean? So if you look at Tosfos, source number 6, Tosfos explains as follows. Gabe yovel ksiv, v'safarta lecha, da'beis din ka'amar, lehu rachmana. So Tosfos says that the idea is that the Gemara is distinguishing between the sphera of Omer and the sphera of Yovel. The sphera of Yovel is what? Is done by Beis Din, and the sphera of Omer is done by individuals. Everybody verbally counts. And we know that from the word lachem versus lecha. The safarta lecha implies Beis Din. The safarta usfartam lachem implies individuals. How is that implied? How do the words indicate that? Lachem versus lecha.
Plural.
Right. So, usfartam lachem, since it's addressing each individual Jew, so therefore we know individuals have to count. V'safarta lecha is addressing the Jewish people as a unit, in singular. You, singular, shall count. Well, who is the representative of the Jewish people as a singular entity? That would be based in, presumably.
I would have said it just the opposite.
Aha, very good. So this is actually a very interesting point, perhaps another time, but the Gemara assumes that when the Torah addresses the nation as a singular entity, meaning to say as a unit, as a singular unit, it does so by speaking in the singular. Lachem implies you, but each as individuals. This actually relates to, for example, certain drashos that we make with respect to the distinction between the first parsha of Kriya Shema and the second parsha of Kriya Shema, with the first parsha of Kriya Shema said in Lashon Yachid and the second Rabim. Similar distinction. So that's how we know there's a difference.
It also gets a little bit of the issue of what exactly is the mitzvah of Sfira.
Ah!
So the Yovel maybe is easy because we can't really, the Beit Din is really kind of in charge of enforcing it.
So good. So what does it tell us about
the individual? For the Omer, that there's two possibilities. One is that it's really about the korban, right? In that case, maybe it's a little bit more difficult to understand the individual aspect, right? Really, the good thing, the Beit Din or the Kohanim are in charge. But then maybe there's also I'm not the first person I'm sure to say it, right? There's the counting to Shavuos, right? So that maybe that's kind of incumbent on each person.
Okay, that's certainly a possibility, and we're actually going to consider what you suggest in a moment, which is maybe that there's even a two-part counting for Sfiras Omer. But what you're noting, Elon, right?
Ronel.
Okay, what Ronel is suggesting is if we look at the first pasuk on again the top right, the focus is the karbanos. Basically, you shall count from Karban Omer to count till Shtei Alachem. The second pasuk in Dvarim mentions Tachel Lispor Shiva Shavuos, Vasisa Chag Shavuos, and perhaps that is more Yontif related, which might relate more to the individual. Okay, that's an interesting suggestion. We'll consider that a little further in a moment. Now Tosus then continues, again back to source 6. Vishema based in Sofrin Umivarchim Kemosha Anu Mivarchim Al Sfira Saomer. Maybe based in counts, just as we count and make a brach on Sfira Saomer. In other words, Tosus is actually unsure. He writes Shema. As far as I know, there's nowhere in the Talmud that actually discusses how the mitzvah of Sfira Liovel is carried out. Doesn't tell us what happens, which is why Tosus is unsure. But he says, Shema, maybe, it seems reasonable that just like we count for Sfiras HaOmer by making a bracha and counting, so too, when they counted for the Ovel, the Beis Din would make a bracha and count. And then, Tosfos continues, V'gabe Zava Dechsiv V'Safra La. So now Tosus addresses our question, which is, what about the third instance of counting? Zav and Zava. So there too the Torah says, you shall count. Lo shayach ba bracha, kevan shesoferes, de'ichazya afilu b'shvi'i sasra. It's not possible to make a bracha, because if she is soferes, this would be true for a Zav and a Zava. The Zav and the Zava count shiva nikiyim, 7 clean days. And if there were to be a stira during those clean days, meaning to say there would be another emission, there would be dam, so then the halacha is you have to start again. In other words, you don't know that you'll make it until the end. And therefore, you don't make a bracha because you don't know. And he adds, d'ichazi afilu b'shvi, even on the 7th day, it's a stira. It's even a retroactive stira. So, excellent. So what you're suggesting with reading Tosfos, and that's sort of the way I would initially read Tosfos, is the issue sounds like bracha levatala. Meaning to say, what you're suggesting is, Tosfos says, why can't you make a bracha? Because you might not make it. If you don't make it, then it's a bracha levatala. You will, now does that mean, by the way, for Sfira Saomer, if you only make it till 23 and then you forget one night, now you're not continuing, that you retroactively made brachos levatala? So maybe, so you're saying that's a question, is it a standalone or not? There's a machlokas, whether even if you miss a whole day, could you continue? But let's assume, according to the Hag and the like, that it's a single mitzvah, would that be a bracha batala? Perhaps. There are some poskim, the Bir Halacha cites such an opinion, though it's not clear that he said it, that says that if you don't expect to make it till the end, you shouldn't even start with a bracha. Of course, you should count every night, it's a mitzvah. The bracha is not ma'akev, the mitzvah. You could count and fulfill the mitzvah without a bracha, but you shouldn't say the bracha. You should be yotzei with the shaliach tzibur or the like. So Tosfos, the way you're suggesting it be read, is that the issue is bracha levatala. In other words, since you might not make it to the end, you never know if you're going to finish the Shiva Nikiyim, so therefore, don't even start counting with a bracha. Now, what is the implication of Tosfos? According to Tosfos, will a Zav or a Zava actually count?
Yeah,
sounds that way. That's exactly what Tosfos says. Tosfos doesn't ask about whether or not you count. Tosfos asks about a bracha. Why doesn't she make a bracha? Answers, no, maybe there's no bracha. Now, do we paskin this way? No, we don't. The Minhag HaOlam certainly, though you're correct that there might be such an opinion, but the Minhag HaOlam is that we do not count, which of course makes the question more pressing. You see, Tosfos seems to assume that in all three cases, the mitzvah of Sira is essentially the same. The only question is, who does it? In the case of Sfiras Omer, it's the individual. In the case of Yovel, it's based in. Here too, sounds like Tosfos assumes that you really should count, except that there's this concern for Stira. Yeah.
So let's say the Torah wanted to tell you, you got to count 7 days to know if you're Torah, right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you say that without using the word count? In other words, counting does not necessarily have to mean it is a mitzvah of counting with a bracha.
Aha.
It might mean,
excellent.
You got to wait 7 days.
Good.
How else do you say
good.
That?
Excellent. Excellent. So you could imagine Tosu would say, there are other words, maybe minion, umanisa, or you should just wait, right? Yamtin, or something like that.
There are many, you know, Mechusari Kapara or whatever, that doesn't manages, it
Sarah or whatever, you know, when they...
Right, it's true. That's a good example. Saras, right? So the Torah says after 7 days. Exactly. Right? Good. Excellent. So we have another possibility. But again, Tosfos seems to assume in all three cases it's a mitzvah. Now, Tosfos...
I'm sorry, but if you're making that distinction, then, not like a lawyer, I can't help myself. What does it mean to count?
So it sounds to me like Tosfos would say that on day 3, Azav would say, today is the 3rd day of my Sfira Shiva Nikiyam.
Okay, so
on the 4th day...
I understand, but whether you stand up and say, today is the 4th day or not... Clearly, Yaakov's point is you've got to be keeping track.
Right. So you could have had
what
two.
What is that keeping track?
So keeping track. What Tosfos seems to be assuming. Again, you will in a moment. We'll see that the Rishonim that make exactly your point. But Tosfos seems to be of the view, at least the simple reading of this Tosfos is that the Torah could have just told us to keep track, but instead, just like we could have also kept track that make sure that Shavuos is on the 50th day. Or keep track that Yovel is on the 50th year. It's not sufficient to simply keep track, but we have to count towards that goal.
Sorry, what is the difference?
Well, there's an aspect of kind of...
Is there a Maisa Mitzvah of Sfira?
Well, as Steve
but
just
even,
said...
Even
as
before
Steve just
that,
said.
There's kind of an aspect of... In the Yovel, certainly, there's an aspect of proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
And in Sfira, also...
Well, it's a proclamation on the 50th year, but... There's no proclamation on Shavuos. No, we don't get up on the 50th. Today is Shavuos.
Maybe in Shavuos there's a kind of idea, kind of synchronization with what's going on with the other side of the mitzvah, which is the counting with the Korban.
All that's a possibility, but it's speculative. Tosfos is saying if the Torah says Sfira, then presumably it means Sfira. Now, there is a parallel Tosfos. This was a Tosfos in Menachos in Ksubos. That addresses this point as well, but there's a little difference. Take a look, source 7. Vim tomar amai ein mevarchen al sfirasa, kemosh mevarchen al sfirasa omer, dehaksiv v'safra. So, the question is about the sfira, why doesn't she, about the bracha again, why doesn't she count? V'yesh lomar de'en mevarchen ala b'yovel, shemevarchen beistin b'chol shana, sheli olam yuchal lemnos keseder, v'chein omer. Aval zava, Shimtira Tistor Ein La Limnos. In the case of Azava, since she can retroactively be Soseres, so therefore what does Tosfos say? Does he say Ein La Levarich or Ein La Levarich? No, Ein La Limnos. Sounds like this Tosfos over here maintains that you don't even count. Right? Now, what's fascinating is he started off asking a question about the bracha. Why doesn't she make a bracha? And there's no parallelism. In the end, he says, Ein la limnos. So, Tosfos over here is saying the fact that she could be Soseres is a reason not to count at all. Now, why is the fact that you could be Soseres a reason not to count? I understand that it's a reason not to make a bracha, like you suggested before, because of bracha batala. Why is that a reason not to count, though? Why is that reason not to count? What does Tosfos mean?
No, my submit.
Why not? There could be a Maisa Mitzvah. Yeah.
Unless it's a totally personal thing that depends on the individual and not a public aspect at all.
Okay. I mean, but how do you, maybe there's a personal counting. I think what Tosfos is saying is that when, and this might be along the lines of what you were saying, which is when the Torah tells you to count in a situation where the end will automatically be reached, so then, presumably, that implies that the counting is a counting. Today is the 3rd, 4th, 5th, etc. Whereas, over here, this is not something that will automatically be reached. She may make it, or he may make it, he may not. So in that case, where the Torah is telling us to count, it has a different connotation. Now, what that connotation is, we'll discuss in one moment, but it's a different type of thing. The truth is that the words in the Torah are a little bit different, though Tosfos doesn't make that point, which is v'safra as opposed to v'safarta. V'safarta l'cha and usfartem l'chem versus v'safar lo and v'safra la. But Tosfos doesn't make that point. He says that any time that you have a counting which may not reach its conclusion, so the connotation of that mitzvah is not one of actual counting. Now, again, we have to figure out what the mitzvah is. Now, you mentioned, so I'll say it, the shla. So the shla changes the girsa to this tosfos. He takes the last word that says ein la'limnos and says ein la'levarich. So that way it will be parallel to the question and also parallel to the tosfos in Menachos. The note of Yehuda, which is in source number 9, we won't read it inside, says that he thinks that the shla was such a big tzaddik, he made up a mitzvah. He loves mitzvah, so he made up a mitzvah. What's his new mitzvah? Mitzvah of Sfira Sheva Nekiyim. He says, look, take a look, we'll read it quickly. V'hine mashakasav ma'alaso lahazir ala nashal nisnai k'divya agon ha'kadosh ba'al shlash v'imei Sfira Sheva Nekiyim timne b'chol yom v'tomar yom yom echad kevin d'chsiv v'safra la I'm b'shefer ha'shla omer ani agon ha'kadosh hazeh l'rov k'dushas chasiduso niskayim bo oliv mitzvos lo yisba mitzvos v'ratza l'mayin tzidko lahagdil tor laharbos b'mitzvos. But if it's right, then why don't any of the Monei HaMitzvos count it as a mitzvah? And he asks a number of other questions on this approach, and another tshuva, actually asks 7 questions on this approach, and he therefore understands Tosfos literally, ein la'limnos, no reason to change the girsa. At least the Tosfos in Ksubos maintains that there isn't a mitzvah of Sfira Sheva Nekiyim. So the question then is, what exactly is the Torah telling us when it says v'safra la? Right? If it doesn't mean to count, what's the meaning? The note of Yehuda assumes it means hashgacha. What does that mean? The zava must pay attention that these days are actually yemei nekiyim, meaning to say they have to make sure that if it's a woman that there's no dam, if it's a man that there's no emissions. And in fact, this might be, according to some Rishonim, the basis for why we have bedikos during the Sheva Nekiyim as a form of sfira. In other words, the sfira is hashgacha. The sfira is paying attention that these are in fact yamim nekiyim. So even though the Torah uses the same word in 3 different mitzvos, the context of the mitzvah indicates that it has a different connotation. Along similar lines, we have the view of the Ramban, which is source 8, though there is actually a significant difference. Take a look, going back to there. V'tam usvartam lachem, kimo ulakachtam lachem, shetem sfira v'lakicha l'kol echad v'echad. The term lachem teaches me this should be done individually. He is alluding to a Gemara in Sukkah that says ulakachtam lachem, pre-Eitz Hadar, tells us that every individual has to do it. It's an interesting question, what I would have thought otherwise had it not said lachem. But maybe if we have time, we'll get back to that. Sheyimne befiv v'yazkir cheshbono kasher kiblu rabosenu. So the meaning of this, in the case of Sirsa Omer, is to actually verbally count. Also an interesting question, if we have time, we can get back to what's the difference between yimne befiv and yazkir cheshbono. Kasher kiblu rabosenu. Now I underlined and bolded and grayed the word kiblu. What do you think is significant about that word? Kiblu Rabosenu. What does the word Kabbalah imply? Exactly. What the Ramban here is telling us is a very important point, which is we can't actually figure this out on our own. We have 3 mitzvos, like we said, the Sfira Zav and Zava, the Sfira of Sfira Omer, the Sfira of Yovel, of Shanim L'Yovel. And had we only the text of the Torah, then we would not be able to figure out the distinction between the mitzvos. Because, after all, the same word is used by both. Unlike Tosfos, who tries to figure it out logically, the Ramban says the answer to this question is Kabbalah. We have a Kabbalah that this is the meaning. In fact, it's quite interesting that so much of the mitzvah of Sfira Omer relates to Kabbalah. First of all, that it begins on the second day of Pesach, Mimacharas HaShabbos, that means the second day of Pesach. That's something that we also know from Kabbalah. It's a halach l'mosh misinai. The Gemara Menachos has all sorts of answers and proofs as to perhaps how it could be proven. But in the end of the day, really, we know Machar HaShabbos means the second day of Pesach from Kabbalah. The association, in fact, the hashkafic aspects that you were referring to before relating to Sfira Omer, the Torah never actually connects Shavuos at all even to Matan Torah explicitly. And even that the nature of this mitzvah, that Sfiras HaOmer means to count, Hayom Yom Ex BaOmer, that is known only through Kabbalah. Because without that Mesorah, we wouldn't know. Perhaps so much of the preparation leading up to Chag HaShavuos is in the oral law, is part of the Mesorah, to stress this point that Kabbalah Satoro is not just about the Torah Shebichsav, but it's about the Torah Shebalpeh, and that the only way we can understand the Torah Shebichsav is through and with the Torah Shebalpeh, and that's why we stress that over here. So that's what the Ramban says, that we know this, we know that Usfartem Lachem means Sfira Bepeh because of a tradition. V'ein kein v'safar lo v'safar la, d'zaven, unlike the Safar Lo V'Safar La, there the Kabbalah does not say it means Sfira B'Peh. And then he brings a fascinating proof. How do we know that the Safar La, the Sfira of Zava and Zava, cannot be Sfira B'Peh? Fascinating. Shehareh imratzu omdim bitumasam. What does that mean?
They don't have to log on them.
Correct. Right? You don't have to. This is actually another interesting question, not for now, whether tefillah is a mitzvah, but the Ramban says very simply that you don't have to become tahor, right? Women who aren't married don't go to the mikvah, for example, and the like. If a person wishes to become tahor, if a man wants to go to the Beis HaMikdash and he's a zav, or contact with kadshim or truma or the like, then of course he has to become tahor. But there's no mitzvah. So if the Torah says v'safra la, v'safra lo, it can't be a mitzvah like Sfiras HaOmer, which is a mitzvah chiyuvi, an obligation you must count towards Shavuos. That can't be the case because there's no actually obligation to become tahor. So it must be that it doesn't mean counting. So what does it mean? Shetizaher b'mispar shelo tishkach. So what is the mitzvah v'safra lo, v'safra lo, according to Ramban? Yeah! Exactly. Keep track. Don't lose count. Right? We know, even if we count every night Sfiras HaOmer, you know, well, it was last night again. It's easy to forget. So the mitzvah of the Safra Law is telling us, pay attention so that you don't lose track. Make sure you don't go to the mikvah a day early or a day late. And then he continues, V'taras kohanim v'safarta lecha beveistin. The lo yadati im lo marshiye bebeis din agadoch. I haven't lispor shanim ushvuos berosh kol shana levarech alehan kemo shenas esfisa omertosis. I mean, the Ramban says, I'm unsure. Does the mitzvah that we read about yesterday mean that beis din at the beginning of the year will actually count, make a declaration? O lomar sheyizaher b'minyan v'yikadshu shenas hachamishim, or perhaps what it just means is like the mitzvah of the Safra Lo, the Safra Lo. Based on us to make sure, don't lose track of the Oval, don't, you know, get confused, do it on the 51st year or the 48th year, pay attention. So, interestingly enough, we have Tosfos, who has, at least Tosfos and Menachos, who seems to say all three mitzvahs of Sfiros are the same. A mitzvah Sfira. Two out of three you make a bracha, the third you don't make a bracha, because maybe you'll be Soser or Soseres. All three are the same. The Ramban says Sfira Zav and Zav is definitely not a mitzvah of Sfira. It just pay attention not to lose track. The mitzvah of Safra La, the Safra Lo for Zav and Zava, is just make sure not to keep track. And then Yovel, he's unsure. Which one is it? Is Yovel more like Sfira Saomer, or is Yovel more like Sfira Zav and Zava? There are a number of other Rishonim who also have different opinions on this topic. The Ran discusses it as well. I'll just see a couple more with you. Then I want to go on to the second topic of today. Though I guess we'll have to see if we have time for that. The Sefer HaChinuch, source number 10, follows the Ramban in saying that from the Psukim themselves we don't know. And he makes a very important point. He says, take a look, source 10, page 2. Vim tish'a lama chiyivu zichronam levracha limnos hashanim shava Sheva medichsiv safar telucha, velo ra'inu me'olam sheim na'azav yimei sfiro, velo azava yimei sfirasa. The minhag olam, despite what the Shla recommended, is certainly that azav and azava don't count. We never heard of that. But there too it says safar. So how do we know? We have three mitzvos in the Torah, safar. How do we know which is which? Tshuvas davar zeh, the next paragraph. Mashigdamti lecha birosh shifri, ki kol inyan haTorah tali b'fer shemekubal. Explaining the Torah is dependent on perusha mekubal, the received tradition, how to interpret the pasuk. We have many places where psukim have the opposite connotation and many questions and contradictions, and the only way we're able to figure out what the Torah actually means is with the Kabbalah. And he gives other examples. One example that he mentions, I think, is something that people wonder about. There are many mitzvahs in the Torah where there's a mitzvah of zechira, right? Like zechiras Amalek, Zechiras Miriam, and the like. Now, the mainstream halacha, even though many people do say Sfira, you know, count the, mention all those Zechiras every day, and the like, is that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is very, very different than the mitzvah of Zechiras Mais and Miriam, right? Amalek, we got together in Shul once a year, we read it out loud. So, how do we know which is which? Answer, Kabbalah, tradition. And likewise, with respect to the three mitzvahs of Sfira, the only way we know that there's a difference is not like Tosfos tried to figure out through context and textual analysis, but simply the Ramban says, or the Chinuch, I'm sorry, says through Kabbalah. Source 11 is a Rav Yah, who initially assumes that a Zav and a Zava should count, actually, Sfira, Shiva, Nikiyim. And he suggests why they don't, because we don't know whether actually a woman is a Zavi. He gives two other answers to this question, and the like. I guess the final source on this part A of the shir that I wanted to see with you is Echizkuni from Parshas Behar. V'safar tolucha shava shavaso shanim, l'fi she'en kan ala sfira achas, v'hi beveistin, Ein Sarach Levarich. Since there's only one sphira and it's done in Beis Din, you don't have to make a bracha. It's interesting why he takes for granted that there'd be no bracha in Beis Din. About Omer, Dichsiv Bei Shtei Sfiros, Achas Beparshas Emor, V'Achas Beparshas Re'eh, Achas LeBeis Din, V'Achas LeTzibor, Sarach Levarich. Fascinating. So this goes back to your question, your point, that there are two mitzvahs of sphira in the Torah. There's the mitzvah in Parshas Re'eh, the mitzvah in Parshas Emor. Take a look back on page 1. And the first one says, in Parshas Emor, Sfartem Lachem, which is addressed at the individual. And the second one is Tispar Lach, which he assumes is addressed to Beis Din, because it says Lach, presumably, as opposed to Lachem. Just like in Sfiras Yovel, the fact that it says Lacha indicates it's a mitzvah in Beis Din, so too the pasuk in Re'eh that says Shiva Shavuos Tisbalach also should be referring to Beis Din. So according to the Chizkuni, there's actually two mitzvos, it would presumably be counted as one mitzvah, but two aspects of the mitzvah. There is the mitzvah in Beis Din and the mitzvah on the individual, and that we see from two different psukim. Otherwise there's a stira, right? Why does it say once lachem and once lacha? Now this is an amazing chiddush. You know, it's not cited in the Rambam or any other major sources that I could find, but it actually is the simple reading of the Sifrei. Take a look at Sifrei, which is Parshas 13, the Taras Kohanim. Shiva Shavuos Tisbarlach Beveistin Minayin L'chol Achad Ve'achad Talmud Lomo Sfartam Lacham Imachas HaShabbos Kol Achad Ve'achad. Now the truth is, you could read the Sifrei two ways. You could read it as saying, I would have had a havamina that it's beveistin had it only said v'safarta lacha, kamash malan usfartam lachem, that it's a mitzvah kolachas v'achas. But I think the simpler reading, which corresponds to the Chizkuni's interpretation of the psukim, is that in fact, maybe, with respect to Sfirsa Omer, there are two mitzvos. And perhaps the philosophical, the hashkafic implications are along the lines of what you suggested before, or others, in terms of these two aspects of Sfira, in terms of Sfirsa Omer. Now, I'd like to, in the remaining 15 minutes that we have, discuss another aspect from this pasuk, which I think actually also gets to the very heart of the mitzvah. Yeah?
But if you want to learn in the way which we talk in, that is mitzvah to count days and weeks, this would be the only mitzvah that is really disregards the lacha and lachem distinction that the Chizkuni is making.
That's correct. Though, and actually, there's an interesting point whether we would distinguish, like the Chizkuni doesn't spell this out, but you could wonder if the Chizkuni would say that the mitzvah on Beis Din is only a mitzvah sfiras shvuos, right? As opposed to the individual, where there's a mitzvah of yamim and shvuos, because the pasuk in Emor mentions both yamim and shvuos, though it doesn't mention shvuos with respect to the sfira, but it does mention in that context yamim and shvuos, whereas the pasuk in Re'eh, which is referring to Beis Din, only mentions shvuos. So I don't know if what he would say, but one could imagine if you did adopt this view of the Chizkuni, that maybe Beis Din only counts Shavuos. I don't know. Otherwise, he would say, I guess each one teaches and informs the other one. But it's an interesting hara. So the next question I want to talk to you about is the following. Take a look back at, source 14, which is the Gemara Menachos that we saw Tosos quoting before. The pasuk of the Gemara says, Usvartem lochem shetei mitzvah shetei sfira l'chol echad ve'echad. So what does that mean? Kol echad ve'echad. So we mentioned before the view of Tosvos, which is source 16, that this comes to tell me that it is a mitzvah on... it is a mitzvah on individuals as opposed to Beis Din. Why does it say lachem? Because you might have thought that it's a mitzvah sphere of Beis Din, like Yovel, kamash malan lachem, that it's a mitzvah on individuals. However, Rashi does not necessarily read the Gemara that way. Source 15, l'chol echad v'echad, shechol echad chayav lispor. Each person has to count. Now, it's not clear what that means. It could be that Rashi agrees to Tosfos. However, if you look at the miyuchas l'rashba, the pseudo-rashba on Menachos, Pseudo Rashba, yeah. It was attributed to the Rashba. It's likely a student of the Rashba's who wrote it. So that's why it's sometimes known as Miyuchas LaRashba, attributed to the Rashba. At one point, they thought it was written actually by the Rashba. So he understands Rashi and others as well, including some Achronim, that Rashi actually understands this Gemara a little differently. When the Gemara says Shekol Echad Chayav Lispor, it's teaching me a different halacha, that individuals have to count as opposed to what? Shmei Ka'ona, exactly. Someone counting for them. You might have thought for other mitzvos, so a person does not have to say it themselves. We have a principle that is called Shomei Ka'ona. When I hear somebody say something, it is though halachically equivalent to my having said it. I don't have to say Kiddush. I could hear somebody else saying Kiddush, and I'm yotzei my mitzvah that way. So one might have thought that Sfiras HaOmer is also a mitzvah that can be fulfilled through Shomei Ka'ona. Kamash Malan, that it's not. Every individual must count. Shekol Echad Chayav Lispor, Rashi says. Now, this is an interesting question, which is, can you fulfill the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer through Shomei Ka'ona? And it turns out, actually, that it is a machlokes rishonim, explicitly. Perhaps from Rashi and Tosos you could be medayik. Rashi says you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Shomei Ka'ona. Maybe you could say that Tosfos, by not learning the Gemara this way, would assume that it follows the normal rule that you could fulfill the mitzvah through Shomei Ka'ona. But, as we'll see in a moment, there are explicit Rishonim on both sides of this question. Can you fulfill the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer through Shomei Ka'ona or not? Now let me make something clear before we go on. We're not talking about the bracha. One can certainly fulfill the mitzvah, the bracha, through Shomei Ka'ona. And in fact, if somebody has missed a day and is no longer counting with the bracha, that's exactly what they should do. They should hear the Shaliach Tzibor say the bracha, and they should say Amen, have in mind to be Yotzei the bracha, and count themselves. So we're not talking about the bracha. Everybody would agree that the bracha can be said by the Shaliach Tzibor. In fact, it's an interesting question why everybody doesn't do that. You might have thought, Rov Am Hadras Melech, everybody should count that way. We generally count by ourselves. We assume a mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucho, but certainly you could fulfill the bracha through Shomei Ka'ona, because that's the bracha. The bracha is separate and distinct from the mitzvah, at least according to most Rishonim. But the question is the actual sfira. Can you fulfill the mitzvah through Shomei Ka'ona? And as we'll see in a moment, this is a machlokes rishonim. And it may very well be, we'll see the explicit sources in a moment, but that Rashi is saying the answer is no. And Tosfos says that the answer is yes. So I saw once in the name of Reb Chaim that this machlokas Rashi Tosfos might be Rashi and Tosfos l'shitasam about another famous machlokas concerning Shomea Keona. What is that? So there's a question that we frequently face, which is, what happens if I'm still davening Shmona Esrei and they get up to Kaddish or Kedusha? What should I do? So since we're running late, we'll do these sources outside. But Rashi in source number 18 writes that you should stop saying Shmona Esrei, listen carefully to the Chazan. Hopefully that's a good reason why the Chazan, when he says Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kavod, should say it in a way that the Kaal could hear, in case there's someone who needs to be Yotze with them. And you should simply be quiet and listen, and you fulfill the mitzvah that way through Shomea Ka'ona. Tosfos, in source number 20, objects, or 19, we'll see it first, V'Rabbeinu Tam V'Ri, Hayu Omrim Da'adirabba, Yish Shomea Ka'ona, Havei Afsaka, Im Shosei. Right? He says, Rashi makes no sense. Mimanavshach. If Shomea's Ka'ona, Shomea's Ka'ona, that means that it's as though I said Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. If you're going to assume that saying Kadosh, Kadosh in the middle of Shmona Esrei is a hafsik, so this is a hafsik. And if you're going to say that it's not Ka'ona, then I haven't done anything, I haven't accomplished anything, it makes no sense. So therefore, what is Tosu say? Just go on. Go on. Farfalin, you lost your chance for a Kedusha. Go on. Tosus himself actually notes, though, that the Minog follows Rashi. So what are we going to say? How is Rashi going to respond to this question? It's a very good question, right? Shomei Ka'ona v'manashach. What's Rashi going to have to say?
Sort of.
Exactly. Meaning to say, Tosfos seems to be assuming that Shomea Ka'ona is literal. Ke'ona, it's as though I said it. So, if I were to be Yotze Kedusha through Shomea Ka'ona, that is like stopping my Shmona Esrei in the middle and saying Kadosh, Kadosh. I shouldn't do that, and therefore it doesn't work. So you said correctly, Rashi holds sort of. There's a number of ways that you could say sort of, what that means, and there are actually nuanced differences between them. We don't have time to get into those nuances, but Rashi presumably says Shomea Ka'ona is not quite Ka'ona. It allows me to fulfill my mitzvah, but it's not as though I literally said it. It's not as though it's a means by which you could fulfill the mitzvah. Absolutely. Now, if that's true, so again, they say from Rapayim that he suggested that Rashi and Tosfos are l'shitasam over here. You see, Tosfos assumes that Shomea Ka'ona is literally Ka'ona. So why shouldn't you be able to fulfill your mitzvah of Sfiras Omer through Shomea Ka'ona? So he says, it must be something else. It must be Lafuke Minyan Bebeistin. Whereas Rashi, who assumes that Shomea Ka'ona does not literally mean Ka'ona, there is a difference between fulfilling a mitzvah through Shomea Ka'ona versus actually saying it. So it would make sense that there might be exceptions. There might be times when Shomea Ka'ona does not apply. Now, why would it be here, Daska, that Shomea Ka'ona doesn't work? Is there a reason why Sfiras Omer in particular is a reason, and this could be true for Tosus as well, but certainly for Rashi, is there a reason in particular, something about Sfiras Omer that would make Shomea Ka'ona, make one suspect that Shomea Ka'ona wouldn't work?
It goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
Excellent. In other words, even though there's a halacha that you need Sfira B'peh, you must vocalize that Sfira, you can't just think it. But is it fundamentally a mitzvah? Is it a recitation of a text? No. It's about counting. It happens to be that you're supposed, the halacha states that you should count out loud, but it's not about a recitation of a text. It's not about a statement. It's about counting. Counting out loud, yes, but counting. When it comes to something that's counting, so then it makes sense that I can't do it for you, because other mitzvos I can't do for you. I can't put on tefillin for you. When I say the text, it's as though you said the text. Let me give you perhaps a couple of ramifications of this. One is a very simple point that the Magen Avraham makes. The Magen Avraham writes, even though we usually say that when it comes to the recitation of texts, a person can say them in Hebrew, and they're yotze, even if they don't understand. obviously, when davening, one should understand the words. It might make a lot more sense to daven in the language you understand than even to daven in Hebrew. If you don't understand, it's an interesting question. But we assume, certainly, that for almost all things, you're yotze, even if you don't understand it. So if I said Kiddush Friday night, and I didn't know one word, I didn't know what a single word meant, at least if I knew I'm saying Kiddush, I'm yotze. Sfiras Omer is not the case, right? Let's say a person goes ahead, and they just read the text, but they don't know what the words mean, right? They don't know what the words mean. They're not yotze. Why not? Why not? Why is it different than Kiddush? Why do I have to know what the words mean? Exactly. The mitzvah is to count. It's not to say this sentence. It's to count. The mitzvah's counting. It's not reciting a sentence. It's counting. Aha! It happens to be that the Torah says I should count out loud. But it's a mitzvah of the safarta. It's a mitzvah of sfira. So, shomei ka'on is a rule that applies with respect to verbal statements that must be made. So if the mitzvah is a verbal statement, then shomei ka'on naturally is going to work. If the mitzvah is to count, then it's not at all obvious. And that's why you have to understand what you mean. That's why some point out that that might be why we don't do sveika dioma for sfira sa'omer. You see, all other mitzvos, we always act with sveika dioma. We even celebrate 2 days of shvuos, even though the second day doesn't correspond to our counting. So maybe on the second night of Pesach, we should say, you know, on the third night of Pesach, we should say today is the first night, today is the second night, right? Why not? So some achronim point out, because if it's a mitzvah sfira, going ahead and just saying two things, that's not counting. Anyway, so that might be this machlokas, a basic machlokas about the nature of shomei ka'oneh. There are a lot of other fascinating nafkaminas about this chakira, about what shomei ka'oneh is, it literally or not. One is Kedusha, one might be Sfiras Omer. I'll show you a couple in these source sheets. If you look at page number, we don't have time to read through them, but page number 3, there is a discussion over here about if a person is unsure whether they need to make a bracha or not. So if you're making the bracha, could you be motzi me? So I would assume, of course, why not? It's the safe option. Safek brachos lach. Also, I can't make the brachos my bracha myself. It might be bracha vatal. I'll be yotzi with your bracha. So the tzlach says, well, if you assume, like Tosfos, that shomei ka'oneh is really ka'oneh, then it doesn't help, because it would be a bracha vatal. Ayideh shomei ka'oneh. He takes it mamish literally. Shomei is literally ka'oneh. There's a machlokas, aposkim, the Taz talks about it here in source 23. Well, presumably, if you have in mind not to be yotze with the bracha, then it wouldn't be. But if you have in mind, I want to be yotze with this bracha, so then it's literally ka'ona. Yes. Certainly if you follow the tzlach. There is a discussion. So if you are right, and it's a good, interesting discussion, of poskim, but if you are right, then I have a question for you, which is, last night, when you counted Sfiras Omer, did you say Amen to the Chazan's bracha? No, you did it.
I said the bracha with him.
With him. Okay, so you're consistent at the very least. But most people said, well, I was going to say that's what I did, but I guess I was the one who said the bracha, so I avoided that problem. Rabbis, we get out of that. So most people, though, say Amen. Now, you could say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo to do it, and then they sue it. Now, you're right. Some have that objection. This comes up on Hallel. What about Hallel? What do you do there?
With the shliach.
Ah, Mamash, you're consistent. The Rav used to do that. So, but the Minhag HaOlam is not what you're saying. The Minhag HaOlam is to say Amen to Brachos, and then to say the Bracha, because you have in mind not to be Yotze. Anyway, but according to the Tzlach, if you had in mind to be Yotze, if you weren't Chayav, it would be a Bracha Batala. Source 23 talks about the question of, can a blind person get an Aliyah, which is a Machlokas HaPoskim. Some say, yeah, they're Yotze through Shomei Ka'oneh. The Ayvitz, it's a Taz's view, the Ayvitz says, what do you mean? Shomei Ka'oneh, that means you're saying the Torah Baal Peh. You can't do that. All right. Anyway, in terms of the Rishonim about Sfiras Omer, you have them on the sources over here, but I guess we don't have time. We'll close with one thought relating to the counting of Sfiras HaOmer. The Pasuk, as we noted before, describes the counting of Sfiras HaOmer as counting from the Karban Omer to the bringing of the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos. The Karban Omer was highly unusual in that it was brought from barley. There's only one other mincha brought from barley, and that's because barley is animal feed. And we count towards Shtei HaLechem, brought on Shavuos, which is brought from fine flour, human food, it's bread, it's even chametz. And many of the Mefarshim explain that the symbolism of that counting and the formulation of the Torah in terms of counting from Sfiras HaOmer towards, sorry, from Karban Omer to Shtei HaLechem is that we're going from being like animals when we left Egypt to being like humans on Shavuos when we received the Torah. So what exactly does that mean? That that we count from being like animals to being like humans. Were we like animals? So I heard once a very nice idea, I thought, from a friend of mine, Rabbi Aaron Jacoby. And he said the following. He said, animals also, in a sense, can serve God. Yada shor koneu v'chamor evos be'alav. An animal could be trained to do what you ask it to do. You could train all sorts of animals to perform tasks that they're commanded to do. And how do you train an animal? You either reward them for doing what's right, you give them a biscuit, or you hit them, you make them experience pain if they do what's wrong, and the like. And a human being could also serve God in that way. They could serve God like an animal. And when we left Egypt, that was the nature of our service of God. We followed mitzvos, but if we did, we to get reward or to avoid punishment or the like. And we count on Shavuos, toward Shavuos, when we can serve God like a human. A human being is capable of having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we receive the Torah, it's depicted as a marriage between a chasen and a kala, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we count towards Shavuos, we count towards the Shtei HaLechem, because we look forward to, and this is the avoda during the time of Sfira, a time when we have a human relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't serve God like animals serve their masters that are just trained to follow commands and orders, but rather we count towards a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and may we all be zocha to experience that relationship and be zocha to Kabbalah Satora Me'avo Me'ira on Zman Matan Torah Seinu.